Amen. If we're going to get through this life with any amount of rejoicing, it's going to be through the grace of God. I want to, as we get started this morning, I want to not forget a couple things I wanted to mention. We have out in the booklets back here against the outside wall there over to the left, free booklets, some new ones out there. There's some on ladies and on women and mothers and so forth. One that Miss Janet Walsh has written, that booklet's out there. Some other booklets on men, things about how to be a man. So I know how to be a man. Well, what God wants and how to, you know, some things that would help, and things on family finances and so forth. There's a booklet out there on how to elect leaders. It's some different things. I'd like to, listen, we get those to give you a resource if you're looking for maybe some different things on that. It's a great place to look and take some of those different things there, and certainly would like to bring your attention to that. Luke chapter 5 this morning. Luke chapter 5. Bible says here in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let's pray together this morning as we get started. Our Father, we are thankful. Your goodness is so overwhelming. And yet, Lord, we often recognize so little of it. So this morning, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. Lord, you bless us. Lord, help us. Lord, we need your power and your presence here. Father, we'll thank you for it. We'll praise you for all that you say and do. And we'll give you the glory for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when we come together on a Sunday morning, there's maybe a few reasons that we come together. Maybe we come together because in Sunday school there's breakfast. y'all like, no, who has breakfast? Well, there's people that Pathfinders have breakfast, by the way, if you're a Pathfinder age, family of faith, on Sunday school. And some come, they say, you know, I want to see here. Maybe some come, like, if I don't go, somebody's going to be like, where were you at? You know, this kind of thing. But you know, and others, and I think some come, I want to hear from the Word of God. I want to hear what God has to say to us this morning. Can I say to you this morning, a big part also, we come together to be together, right? It's the assembling of the saints. And so we come together, and I mentioned it here a couple weeks ago, is we come together to exhort one another. Sometimes that exhortation is just encourage somebody to be here, encourage somebody that is here, encouraging them just that Jesus loves you, encouraging them that I care about you. People care about you. So, well, they don't even know me that well. I understand that. We can care about somebody that we don't know. I think we do. We can. Sometimes people, I see people, I've met some. I get excited when somebody new comes to church. And it's not just because they're new and like, oh, we got new people. Not like that. We get visitors here every week, and so praise the Lord for that. God brings in people every week, and people are visiting and so forth. But what I get excited about new people coming in is because it's an opportunity. God has brought someone here to our church for us to minister to. And maybe God brought somebody to our church to minister to us. Either way, so it's an exciting thing. And so I want to just say this morning, this isn't really my message at all. It's not my message at all. It's just the bonus that the Lord laid on my heart to say, is find somebody to encourage this morning. Don't slip in and slip out. Best you can. I know some of you are like, oh man, I'm going to get sick if I have to stick around and talk to somebody. I'm not trying to make you sick. Really, I'm not. But try to just say hi to somebody. Try to encourage somebody. Just try to say, hey, it's good to see you, brother. You know, I want to say to Brother Andrew, good to see you, brother. Glad to see you. You know, he smiles over here. Doesn't he? You know, are you glad? Aren't you glad when somebody smiles at you? It's like they're almost glad to see you. That's a lot better than the other. So we find here in Luke chapter 5, we find, and I've preached on this many times in the past, it's been a long time, and so we'll see what the Lord does this morning. Jesus tells Peter and those with him, Simon Peter and those with him, he says, launch out into the deep. Cast down your nets. Of course, he was literally talking about the water. I don't know about you, but I don't like boats. I don't really like boats. Because the land underneath, the stuff underneath boats moves. You know what I mean? You're out there and now, you know, maybe a pond. I like a pond, a little flat bottom boat. That's okay. Maybe a lake. I was in a lake down in Texas where I grew up. These lakes are like huge. They have waves. We were out there on a 10-foot flat-bottom boat cruising down the road, and the wind got so bad on this lake that it tipped us over, and we almost died. Not really, but it felt like it. You know what I mean? It just, maybe that's where my trauma started. I don't know. We were in a missions conference down in Florida, and they said, hey, we're going to go deep-sea fishing. I like fishing. And they said, oh, you go out here, you catch fish. You just go out, you're going to catch fish. I thought, okay. My daughter's had one of these things. It's a patch you put on your neck, and it has some medicine that goes in and keeps you from getting seasick. Yeah, motion sickness and so forth. So I said, can I have it? She said, I said, I'm taking that. Anyway, so I got that put on, and these other guys are like, yeah, we do this all the time. So we're out there, we go. It's a mile. No, I don't know if it's a mile. It's like an hour off the coast, out into the Gulf of Mexico. And the waves were supposed to be low, but they weren't. Man, I'm telling you. And these guys that are driving, they're like, if you're holding the handle and you're driving, you're fine. You know what I mean? It's the guy that's not holding the handle. It was me, you know? And you're just like, you know, I'm just like, go to my happy place. You'll close my, you know, anyway, we're going. And we go out, and they were right, though. We got out there. Finally, we got out there and we stopped. Like, when you park a boat, you don't park. You know what I mean? Because the bottom is still moving. And it was still, we did. He was right. We catch fish. You throw them in there. It was a lot of fun in that way. But I'm thankful for that patch. I was the only one that didn't feed the fish. I just want to say, so launching out into the deep is a challenge. And for each of us, that launching out into the deep is different. It's going to be a different thing. Some of you are like, man, that would be great, right? Some of you think, you know, like thinking about hunting. You know, the thing about hunting is you get up early, it's cold, and you got to be quiet. None of those things are what I like. You know what I mean? But others are like, man, I'm going to take vacation to go do that. And so, you know, so there's different, I'm just saying there's different things, but sometimes, listen, what God wants you to do for him and what God wants you to do in this way of your life for him, that launching out in the deep may be different for you than it is for somebody else. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be something that's going to be a challenge. Otherwise, it's not launching out, right? Maybe it's what I just mentioned this morning, you know, like meeting somebody, talking to somebody, and just, man, that's, and just make it a, listen, let's get into this this morning. I want to ask this question, first of all. What will keep you from launching out into the deep? Look at with me at verse 5. The Bible says, and so let's go back to verse 4 again, get back to it. He said, Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. So, you know, sometimes the thing that keeps us from launching out into the deep is the fact that we already tried it. I've tried really, listen, I've talked to people throughout my salvation, throughout my Christian ministry, serving the Lord, and I find people often and constantly say this kind of thing. I tried living for the Lord before, right? I tried being faithful to church, and I've heard people say this, I tried tithing, but it just didn't work for me, or I tried whatever. And a lot of times what we find is folks will say, I've tried that before, it didn't work. I remember there was this gospel tract that some years ago that we had, we used to give out. It says, if mom burned the biscuits, would you still go to the kitchen? Yeah? Right? Sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes it just goes bad, right? Sometimes it doesn't work. But often what will keep us from launching out into the deep is that we've tried it before. And so we find here, Peter is saying, really what he's saying is that we tried with all of our labor to do what we've always done. You see, he said we toiled all the night. This is what they did for a living. They were master fishermen. This was literally their livelihood. They would have employed every good effort that they knew, right? Anybody here like to go fishing? I like to go catching. Right? I used to hate fishing because I'd never catch anything. And then the older I get, the less I care about catching. But yeah, I like this. Just sit here. But you know, the difference between me and somebody that has a lick of sense is they know about the water, right? You know, you go with somebody, there's people that they hire, right? You can hire to take you out. They know where the fish is. They got these fish scan. It seems cheating a little bit, but that's all right. I'm okay with it. And you go down, it's like, hey, there's a fish right here. Put your line, catch. I don't know if it's fair, but hey, fish, you know? These guys would have known about fishing. They would have known this is what they did. It's what they would have known the time to fish. They fished all night. You say, I wouldn't fish at night. Why fish at night? Well, they must have known that's when you catch fish. And they kept going, or maybe they started and still, and they continued on. And they knew the waters. They knew where the deep holes. They knew where the places were. They knew all these things. They knew all the places about it. This was their thing. You know, one of the most difficult barriers to really launching out for the Lord is not with what's on the outside, but what's within us. Letting go of ourselves. Letting go of my experience and knowledge. You know, we can have a tendency to go often in our own strength to serve Jesus. And you know, truth is, we can manage that pretty well, honestly. We can. We could go. Some people that have skill and have talent, and they can do the thing, and they can do it. Really, can I say this? They can do it without the Lord, and it could look good. It could look just like it's supposed to look. And the challenge for us is after we've done it for a little bit and after we've served God this way or after we've done this thing, whether it's, by the way, sometimes it's just looking the part. I mean, you know, you can go from a pretty lame Christian to a super awesome Christian just by putting on some clothes. I mean, I'm saying in people's mind, outwardly. You could go from somebody who's like, man, I don't know if he's even saved, to the next week, he might be called to be a preacher. Just by what we put on our clothes, you know, the clothes we put on. All of a sudden we could be like, wow, that's somebody different. Wow, God's really getting a hold of him. And really all we did is, you know, we went to Walmart or Goodwill and got a $7, I don't know, I think it's $12 jacket now, maybe $15. But, you know, you go and do that and all of a sudden it's like, wow, but that didn't change nothing on the inside. You see, we could begin to do some things in our own ability, maybe something we've done over and over, and we could kind of do it in neutral and just do the thing. And I'm afraid maybe the average church in America is on neutral, and we wonder why a nation is becoming more and more acceptable to sin and unrighteousness. You know, used to be there was Christianity had an ethics, morality, and then the world had an ethics and morality, and now the lines are blurred to where sometimes what'll be right inside these walls is not any different in thinking. And so it becomes this thing that what we do is we kind of just coast for so long. We just do the outside part. And I'm telling you this morning is this thing here is what often what keeps us from really living for Jesus is not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside. I would rather see somebody change from the outside, from the inside out than from the outside in. I've seen people change the outside and you just don't know. I mean, you just don't know. And Some of the people that I thought were the greatest Christians because they looked it on the outside were the emptiest on the inside. When God changes your heart, He really changes something. And so I think that the barrier often for us to launch out into the deep is what's within us. And so letting go of ourselves and letting go of our experience and our knowledge and letting go of my ability and power. You know, I mentioned it in the Sunday school, really, these were not two things that were even connected at all. It just happened to be that way. But, you know, this thing of self, we want to continue with me after I get saved to be a better me. I want to continue with what I've done. You know, I've noticed it this way with a lot of folks. When somebody will get saved, I mean, maybe they've been in some churches, maybe they did something, and then they get saved, and then they say, well, you know, I have this ability, or I have this, and so all these things that I've done up to here, and we continue with this kind of life that's really the same old life, but now I just have brother on my name. And listen, it actually becomes our own experience, our own power, our own ability actually becomes the hindrance to us from serving God. So it's not about you having an inability, but it's about learning to let God do it. And learning to let God do it and allowing God to do it to take you to launch out into the deep, it's a pretty scary thing. Can I just tell you? It can be a very scary thing because God, if we're going to launch out into the deep, it means I'm going to get far away from my dock. I'm going to get far away from my dock and I'm getting, you know the thing is about getting out in the deep? You know what I lose? Control. Now it's up to the waters. I don't like it. I'm just saying, not only in the real water, but in life. I like being in control. I like being in control. I like to know what I'm doing. I like to know in advance when I'm going to be preaching. You know, I like to have things. That's just the way I am. I'm a very orderly person. I want things lined out. I like lists. I want to just know. I have my wife keep the list for me. But you know what I'm saying? I want to have that. I want to know. And that's just kind of, sometimes God says, no, we're going to just send you out in a place that, you know what? You're no longer in control of the environment and the circumstances. Now you've got to just trust me. I want you to notice where Simon Peter was at this moment, again in verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. I've not seen necessarily the kind of boats that do the big nets and they drop the nets and they pick up the fish. But in Sri Lanka, we've seen this thing that was very, very interesting. What they would do is they would take there was this huge net, I mean, just massive. And they would take it out with boats and they would, from shore, they would bring it out and they would take it out with boats and they'd unroll this net. So by the time they got it out here, so here's the shore, it would be this half circle coming in, and they'd get guys on the side just pulling it in. I mean, a lot of guys just pulling in on both sides and just pulling in all of these fish. And you just see them as it's coming in, they're just wrapping it up. They're wrapping it up and just pulling it in. And when it gets to the end, it's just full of fish. And that's There was a shore. And when they're done, after they get pull the fish out of that, now what they'll do is they'll pull out that net and begin to clean it off and get all the rubbish out of it and get the dirt. And, you know, you got to try to, this is a very valuable instrument. You know, you got to mend it because you get too big a hole, you lose everything out. So they're working on their net. They're washing it, preparing it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And this is where we find Peter. They had already been out all night. All night fishing, and they've come up empty. That's discouraging. He's done what he always did, but didn't get what he always got. And he kept trying. Became frustrated. I imagine it'd be frustrating. You know, when you're a fisherman and you don't catch fish, you don't make any money. It's kind of how that works, right? He wasn't able to apply for unemployment, right? That's it. So you're out there. Imagine that you've done all the work all night long fishing. Now you're done, and you don't just like, you know, I'm just done. I'm going home. No. Now he's washing the nets, getting everything wrapped up, getting everything cleaned up, and getting it ready to go, maybe hopefully tomorrow, but it's all lost. The whole day has been lost into the night. Now he's working, and he's got nothing. Washing this, doing this huge job. No doubt filled with dejection, frustration, discouragement that their whole day was wasted. You know, I find that God gets a hold of us when we get to the end of us. I hate bad luck coming my way. You know what I mean? I hate it when the events turn against me. I like when everything is just good, right? I like the status quo. I like, you know, everything going the way it always went. You know what I mean? Like, my job's going good. They're giving me, you know, pay, no bills are coming in, I don't get pulled over for tickets. You know, I mean, I like everything going good and everybody's nice to me, you know, and everything, I just like that. Do you? I don't know. Maybe you like a lot of turmoil in your life. I like everything to go smooth. I really do. It stresses me out when things don't go good. I'm you're the same way. And so we call that the mountaintop. It's a wonderful view from the mountaintop. God's blessing and everything it's a wonderful view. I love being on the mountaintop. You know, you ever been climbing a mountain, you get to see the view and you want to get up. The reason you get it, you do all that work to get to the top is because you could see like, wow, that's beautiful. It's like, okay, let's go home. But, you know, you get to the top. That mountaintop view with the Lord is wonderful, but it's not where God grows us. It's where we rejoice, and there's something in that. But when we get to the place where it gets a little difficult, then God can then say, hey, look over here. Folks, I just want to say to you this morning is, don't hate the bad times. Don't hate the bad. Now, don't ask for them. Don't ask God, can it really get rough for me? That seems kind of dumb, doesn't it? But don't hate those bad times because God's going to do something. God wants to do something in your life. Listen, I don't believe anything happens to us except God's trying to do something with us. By the way, if you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not saved. You'd say, well, how does that stuff even work for me? I'm telling you, God brought you here today. I mean, imagine all that God would do to get you to the place that you could be rescued. And he said, well, okay, well, I've been saved. Now what? Well, God will bring you to the place where you can be sanctified and excited and living for him in a way of, I'm just saying, we see so much Christianity that's full of bitterness and sadness and pain. Can I tell you, that's not how God intended for us to live for him. The Bible is full of the word joy. 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 Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So Peter's there in this situation, frustration, discouragement that their whole day was wasted. That's when Jesus is out there cleaning his nets, washing them up, and that's when Jesus came by and said, hey, let's see what he said in verse 4. Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Jesus said to him, get back out there and you're going to get a draught, which means a bunch of fish. That's what it means. That's what it means in the Greek, bunch of fish, all right? And so he said, go back out there. And I mean, can you imagine the discouragement, the work? And Jesus said, hey, go do it again. Like right now. I'm not going to do it. How about tomorrow? No. Go now. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a tough one. This is a tough one to follow the Lord at his word at this point. You know, it's easy to serve the Lord when it's easy. When everybody around you and the situation is in your favor, but I'm telling you, the situation is coming up where it's going to find yourself in a place that the Lord says it's going to be hard. And I want you to do what you don't think is going to work. And the Lord may ask you to do what you've tried so many times to do unsuccessfully. God's going to say, hey, I want you to, do you ever feel like the pastor's always preaching on the same stuff? I don't know if you get, well, I'm not going to say that about my pastor. Other pastors. It's like, man, they're always preaching on the same thing. Don't these people preach on anything else? Isn't it something that God cares enough about you, he's going to bring the same thing up? And he's wanting to do something with this. God wants to do something in our life, and he keeps bringing it back around. And God said, I want you to try this. You're like, no, I've tried it. You know, it didn't work. God is so patient. I ain't like that. I'm just not. Anyway, I don't want to know. That's enough. Just there. Right? God said he's going to keep bringing this thing to our attention because he wants, and you know, he said, God, I already did this. I heard preaching before about getting serious. I've heard preaching about living for him. I've heard preaching about doing this, that, and it didn't work. You know, most of us, when it didn't work, we tried for like 8 minutes. You know what I mean? And he said, well, we'll do this. And it's like, you know, I just can't, you know, but a lot of times we think, I tried that before. Really? Really? Could you document that a little bit? Well, no. But I'm just saying, this is how we all, by the way, it's not you, it's us. We're all like this, and we get this. By the way, it was Peter too. We find this situation, it's a tough time when we're down and we're discouraged, and God says, try it again. And listen, he'll ask you to do what you really know you can't do. Peter just said, I know where the fish are. I know where they should be. They weren't there. So what, did they all just swim back? Now, he didn't say that. Can you see, you know, I see Jesus, I see Peter, Simon Peter talking to Jesus. I see him very respectful. And can you just see how Jesus said, hey, can you go back out, launch back out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught? And Peter just, I can't tell him no. Now, what am I going to do? No, I can't tell God no, because he knew he was God. Believing that it ain't going to work. You ever followed God and didn't believe it was going to work? Right? I know it's not going to work, but I'll do it anyway because that's what God wants me to do. And you go out there. And sometimes we don't have enough faith to believe. But we can still follow. God wants you to delve into the supernatural. I know it seems, you know, we kind of get this, well, that's just mystical. Really? This is a pretty supernatural book. With the God, that the stuff in here, he really did. And if he did it, then he can do it. And he does it. I may not be the same way, but I'm telling you, God wants to do something that's so new and exciting with your life that it doesn't work, it doesn't make sense, and it's something you've tried before, but this time God said, I want you to do it this way, and it's going to be something that we do through him, and it's going to be supernatural, because you say, God, this won't work. Will not work. He wants us to do through him what we can't do on our own. So here's the question. Will you launch out? Will you launch out? Look at verse 5, the end of verse 5 again. After that, he says, verse 5. He said, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, and when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Well, that's not too bad. God's result is not just a better version or an improved version of what I can do. Okay, all right, let me say it again. Okay, God isn't going to do with us just a little bit better than I could do with myself, right? God doesn't, he said, go out there. He said, well, it'll happen, okay? You ever want to help? You ever want to help God and hope God doesn't get embarrassed? You know what I mean? You're like, oh, man, everybody knows I'm going back. I mean, all these people, he was just preaching. They're all around here. And Jesus said, go out there. And he's like, this ain't going to work. It's not going to work. And I'm, oh, please. I don't know if you've done this. God, just give me something so people can give you glory. You know, you're like, can I just get at least a dozen fish, something at lunch? You know, and you're going out there and you're just thinking, oh, no. And listen, God doesn't just give us an improved version of what we can do. I mean, this was unreal. This isn't something that happened. Oh, man, we got a whole net full that's breaking our net again. Right? Wasn't that kind of thing. Listen, this is supernatural. It's miraculous. When you're willing to follow by faith, God will do something through you and with you. Look at verse 7 now. Verse 7, he says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both ships so that they began to sink. I know this is probably like a Thursday catch, sinking two boats. Okay, I'm being facetious. Are y'all with me this morning? Okay, this wasn't normal. This wasn't a normal thing. Hey, we got too many fish here. Can y'all come help us? And they come and they're loading and loading and loading. And now both of these boats are beginning to sink. You bunch of greedy fishermen. No, that's not the message. That's not the message. What we see is it's just, listen, when God wants us to launch out, he's going to do something with you that's different. Listen, folks, I know sometimes it is always scary. We're going to launch out and trust him. But God, if we will trust him, if we'll follow him, it's going to be something greater than we've ever seen. It's something supernatural. Now, by the way, just because I want fish doesn't mean God's going to give me fish. It's when God asks us to do what he wants us to do. When you're willing to follow by faith, God will do something with you and through you. And so, when God uses you, those around you see you. And they see what God's doing. This event for them became a wonderful experience for all the people that seen. I don't know how God's worked in your life, and I hope you have some stories. I get to share the stories up here, but I tell you, God changed my life. When I got saved, nobody said, you know, that Tim, he really turned over a new leaf. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. It was, what happened to you? What happened in your life? And I've had many, mostly family members that knew I was a miserable kid. A miserable young man that probably was destined to incarceration. And they said, what happened? I'm telling you, when God does something with you, others see it. And I'm not talking about we go around and brag, yeah, look what God's done. Look, I don't mean like, you don't have to do that. Well, we'll follow God. He'll see, people will see it, and they'll come to you. And it gets us really down to this place. I want to talk about, look at this, the humility of recognizing a wonderful Savior. Look at verse 8. And when Simon Peter saw it, and that's both these ships sinking down, about to be, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. I tell you, not only do other people see it, but when we see what God will do with us, I'm telling you, it changes us. It became a wonderful thing. One of the most beautiful times in your life is when you purely see God as He is and yourself as you are. And realize, wow. By the way, it's not that he got the greatest business day of his life. It's business, right? The greatest day of his life, filled up these ships, and what a wonder. He's not thinking, woo, I'm rich, the lottery. No, what he realizes, look what God has done. I'll tell you, folks, humility is such a sweet thing. We think of humility as weakness. We think of humility as something, but I'm telling you, humility, we can't really see God until we humble ourselves. And when we do that, it's such a, because then it's like we've removed us from the equation. We see God, it becomes such a beautiful thing. It's a thrill. It's a thrilling, life-changing event. And I'd ask you this morning this, have you experienced it? I mean, really experienced it like that. Look at verse 9. I'm talking about Peter here. He said, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So, this wasn't a message of man's ability to get through this life. It's not a message about man's ability to provide for himself, for his business, for his future. It's a message of really what this life is all about. The Lord has a way of trying to help us get our eyes off us. I hate it that we have to get in the valley for that. You know what I mean? We got to get in the valley, but that's where God does His work. And He gets us to the place that says, you know what? Quit worrying about you. I got you covered. Don't worry about that. We get to that place, and so He can get us to see. He said, fear not about this stuff. You're worrying about what doesn't matter. Listen, folks, you say, well, yeah, but my situation is different. Really? Really? Isn't it funny how we all say that when we get there? This is different. I got to worry about this. I've heard good Christians say that. I have. For good Christians say, I have to worry about this. God said, I want to get you to the place that you'll realize right now what's really hard on your life, what's really this thing on your life. It ain't. Fear not. He said, I'm going to do with you. I'm going to do with you what's the most important thing in this world. And that is, you're going to be fishers of men. I've always found in my life, in my ministry, and it almost always goes back to, no matter what we preach about, no matter where we go in the Bible, it seems like the Lord always brings it back to me telling others. Amen. It's almost frustrating. It's frustrating because the thing that I want to avoid because it's hard and embarrassing and difficult, the Lord says, hey, how about you do this instead? Okay. And then he starts working. And by the time you find your back, oh, I almost want to say he's tricking us, but it's not. I mean, it's like he's saying, yeah, you think this is good, but really, this is the thing that I want you to do. I want you to reach others for Jesus Christ. And you're like, well, I'm not good at that. He said, I know. You're not good at fishing either. Now you got a couple sinking boats. And he ends, I find the Lord ends this passage saying, fear not. I'm not good at this. So quit relying on your own abilities. He said, no, I'm going to make you, and I think it worked out pretty good for Peter. Okay, it did work out pretty good for Peter. All right, it did. The Lord used him in that way. He had to go through a little more trouble. All right, a little bit. You're familiar with the New Testament. Peter still, he didn't just like, but I'm going to tell you, God said, we're going to close here. When we're willing to launch out into the deep, God will change our life. Look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is one of the strangest verses in the Bible. Really is. It's so contrary to human nature. They literally had the best business day of their career. And they pulled the boats in and walked away from them. Literally walked away from the life of what they had been putting their investment in. And when we say that, we know that's true of these apostles. They literally walked away from their business. They walked away from all that their ability, their skills, their livelihood, their family business. You say, is that what you're telling us to do? No, I'm just saying God wants us to quit leaning on us and to trust him. And when we'll do it, he'll do something that's supernatural in our life and it'll change your life. Listen, I don't think there's a greater thing that we can do on this planet than to give our life to trying to help other people go to heaven. Folks, I know I'm talking to a lot of people this morning that got some hurts. I do. I know that. And there's people here that got hurts that we don't even know. People that you're sitting in the pews with, you don't know what's going on in their life. Sometimes there's things that are so heavy. Burden. You look at somebody like, oh, they look fine. And inside, they're roasting. You know what I'm saying? They're just... Can I tell you, I know that this morning. I realize that this morning. And I talk with people, you know, and I find the things that's going on and it breaks my heart too. And I hurt for people when they're hurting. It does. I wish I could, you know, sometimes we have to try to compartmentalize that stuff. But I'm telling you, when people hurt, it's tough. But I'm telling you, if we'll realize that God brings us some of those places that we might be used of him, he wants to do something with your life. And if you're here this morning, that's what he wants to do with your life. One of two things need to happen with this. Either number one, you need to be saved. If you're here this morning, you're like, I'm not even saved. I've never even got off the dock to try to get on the ship with Jesus, let alone launching out into the deep. The wonderful thing, the one of great news I have for you this morning is this. You can be saved today. Isn't that a thrill? Isn't that a thrill? You say, well, you mean today? I mean today. Saved for all eternity, and you can be in the family of God like that. So how is that going to be done? I'll tell you, if you're interested in that, you come up to this altar right at the invitation. There'll be somebody that'll come and they'll show you from the Word of God how you could know today you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Well, I didn't plan on that today. That's a pretty good deal. It is. It is. And the second thing is, listen, folks, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter. I mean, literally. Doesn't matter what you're going through. God wants to use that in your life to mold you and make you into something beautiful to use for him. If we will humble ourselves, see God, he'll change your life.